All right, I only left us like 15 minutes, not even, so let's do a quick afterburn, if we can. Well, at least we got one of my references done today. Somebody asked me earlier, well, how many more parts for just good? I said, I don't know. At this rate, 8 more. At the rate I wanted to go at, maybe 2 more, but so we'll just see how it goes. All right, John.
When you were talking about internal hard drive, it kind of got me thinking in another way. I want to make sure if I'm doing it right. It made me think of the Christian world gave us a virus that we needed, the antivirus, which is a Torah.
Amen. I like that.
So I'm guessing that's the right way to think about it then.
Sure. It corrupted the program.
All right. Thank you.
Amen.
Geek squad.
Yeah. So I'm like the Torah geek squad, right? So I... All right, Amy.
Okay, so my childhood, my dad, he took me aside one day. I was probably like 7 or 8. And he was like, the golden rule is you always treat other people the way you would like to be treated. And that really stuck with me. And saying yes, please, no, thank you, hold the door open, all these courtesies, manners, and everything. So how much of that is conditioned? Because I still do it. It's so, like, second nature. So how much of that is me? Because that's the way I was, you know, you're training up a child the way they'll go, So I was trained up that way, and I like doing it. So is it like, so am I doing it because that's what I was taught as a child, or am I doing it because I want to do it because it's in Torah?
Okay, so conditioning only goes so far. Anybody who has children knows you can train them up and they're still going to go wherever they're going to go often enough, okay? At some point, the part that you mentioned, which is, I like doing. If you didn't like doing, you would have stopped doing, okay? The programming that's in there that's harder to overcome is not the programming that was programming and then you end up saying, but I like it and I agree with it. It's the programming that... is the negative programming that you should not have in there that's preventing you from doing because the programming is derailing any forward motion. It's telling you you're not good enough, you can't do it, you'll never... That programming is harder to overcome, but then you still realize that you struggle because of the programming. But when you agree with something, it's not that you're doing it because of the programming. The programming was there, but if you didn't agree, you wouldn't do it.
Okay? Now, see, the other issue, though, is that... because of other issues, I tend to be, I fawn or freeze. I'm a people pleaser.
Right.
For self-protection, you know, self-preservation or whatever.
But you should also know when you're doing something out of fear, because you know you want to be, you want a self-preservation type of issue, or you're doing it because you genuinely agree and like it. And you should be able to look at yourself and figure those two things out, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? Because mm-hmm. the reaction publicly would look the same, because you're going to be a pleaser because you want to, or you're going to be a pleaser because you feel you need to mm-hmm. For safety. Mm-hmm. But you should, if you're allowing yourself to look at yourself, know what's going on underneath. Mm-hmm. Is it because it's something you want to do, or is it something that you feel you have to out of fear? Because mm-hmm. if I don't, something bad will happen.
I see.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
So it's really always going to come down to the underlying thing. And almost always, the negative is going to be a fear base. Okay? All right, Janet.
This was really good, Rabbi. Thank you so much, first off.
You're welcome.
It's always good. This is just thank you for being our teacher. Thank you for teaching us Torah, because without you, I don't know if we could really make it. So I really appreciate that. So, Rabbi, my question is about when you were talking about what is scripture, and that's the Tanakh. And so... there is a purpose for the Gospels and everything else, but should we then not really read that much, but really focus just on the first book?
No. No, you need them for different pieces of the puzzle, okay? Look, here's the thing. First of all, I appreciate you said without me that you might not make it. No, it's without somebody doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
I happen to be the one that is doing it that you're working with at the moment, but you needed somebody... to be, that's what Paul said, right? These five different, you know, roles that people, you know, the fivefold, they call it, right? Yeah. So, but when it comes to the Tanakh and the Brit, most people are raised having somewhat of a New Testament understanding. And so if you were not, you know, if you didn't grow up with a Tanakh understanding, you may want to spend a whole lot more time learning and understanding what you did not actually spend much time doing. You will not need as much time in the New Testament because you already know it, at least on some level, right? And then with the teachings, you see the integration of the two. And you start to then, you know, but you need to have a balance of the whole thing. Okay, I don't want you only doing one side or the other. You may want to spend more attention on a part. Look, if I were to go to the gym, okay, there are going to be parts of me that I know need more attention than other parts in terms of getting, you know, the health and the physical condition that I'm looking for. So I'm going to normally look to strengthen that which is weak. I'm not going to ignore that which is strong, but I'm going to give more attention to that which is weak, right? So the same thing with your study of scripture. If you know you're weaker in a certain area, you may need to give it more attention. Okay, but I'm not trying to tell you you need to spend more time somewhere. A lot of the teachings in the beginning, when I first started doing ministry, were so heavily Tanakh only to some degree because it was a part that most of you had not ever really studied very much. Okay? So you need that foundation or you really can't understand what Paul is or could not be saying. Which the second part is almost more important than the first. You have to know what he can't be saying, okay? And you can't really get that context without knowing the foundation underlying what Paul is talking about, right? And so, matter of fact, I know a lot of you have these wonderful little light bulb moments when you're reading the Tanakh and you all of a sudden go, oh, wait a minute, that's what Messiah was talking about, or that was what James was talking about, because they quote out of there all the time. But if you don't know it, you don't see the connection. So don't choose one over the other. Focus on both of them, but build up the weaker areas. Maybe you have a much better understanding of the Gospels than you have some of the letters. So maybe you need to read some of the letters. Maybe you spent most of your life, like most Christians, just dealing with Paul's letters. So maybe you need to read James, John, and Peter. I'm just saying, just, you know, get that balance of understanding what are in the, what's in the entire book. Okay.
And then when I was barely starting. I mean, even though we've been with you, Rabbi, for, I don't know, 5-6 years. But at the beginning, I remember I was wondering always, so how do we learn the fruit of the Spirit from the Tanakh? And then as I started to learn more from you and doing it, then I started to realize that all aspects of the fruit is everywhere in the Torah, right? It's about patience. It's about being, you know, kind. It's about, you know, how you treat each other and all that. So it feels to me that the becoming him with the fruit of the Spirit, it kind of comes with the practice of Torah. But at the same time, you're saying you need to become more forgiving, you to become more caring, more loving. So it's both intentional, but also is a result of doing the Torah. Is that correct? That we need
yes.
to...
Yeah. Okay. But also realize that some of the tests that you go through... All right, look at the test that Abraham had with the Sodom and Gomorrah thing. That was a test of his character, not mechanics of Torah. Hey, I'm going to destroy this town. What do you think about that? He said, whoa. What if there was 50 people in there? What if there was 40? What if there was 30, right? I mean, this is a chance for Abraham to demonstrate his caring for others. Moses, I'm going to destroy everybody and start again with you. Whoa. Don't blame them. Blame me. Take me. Whatever. I mean, these are those moments you go through also where you can either be self-sacrificing and put others ahead of yourself, or you could not show that you have a callous disregard and don't care about anybody. So life will give you, Abba will allow or cause life to give you those opportunities to demonstrate, you know, well, actually he's going to give you two types of opportunities. The opportunities to see whether or not you're serious about your Torah observance, like when your boss wants you to work on a Saturday, whatever it is, okay, or your family member wants you to do something and whatever. So you'll have mechanical challenges, but you're also going to have character challenges. Will you do the right thing? How will you treat the person? Where's your level of mercy and compassion? Look, I know, and maybe some of you do need to talk to Billy, okay? You need to talk to Elder. But he will tell you that he gets to see what you don't always get to see, unless you're the ones who are counseling with me, the level of love and compassion and patience and caring that a lot of you just don't think I have, because all you hear is me, you know, blasting up here. But when it comes to the actual where the rubber meets the road relationship stuff, I think that's when you would find out. And so, and that's for you to know. Now, he sees it all the time anyway, but you need to know. So maybe you don't trust and you don't do what I said in, you know, from Timothy. You're not doing that because you don't know me well enough. Well, then come and taste of it, okay? And you know what you're going to get? You're going to get it. You're going to get love and patience and kindness and reproof and smacking or whatever it is that you need at the time. But it's not coming from a negative emotion on my side. It's coming from caring for you, okay? But you're not going to know the level of caring, okay? Because I can tell you right now, there's time after time, and again, this is not trying to, this is something because you wouldn't know otherwise, that after talking to somebody, Elder will look at me like, well, I didn't expect that. I go, what do you mean? He says, man, you were so nice. You were just, I did not expect you to, and he'll tell you that, okay? How many times that happens where he's looking at me like, man, I was expecting you to do this and this, and you just took it the other way. And that's not to pat me on the back. That's him inspiring me, me trying to be him, right? But you wouldn't know that anyway, unless you were to see it. And so life will give you those moments. My moments come a lot of times in dealing with you guys. You know, am I going to be Yeshua-like, or am I going to just be me-like? Because me-like, you'd be in real trouble. Because I don't want to deal with any of this stuff, never wanted to counsel, hated the idea of it, right? And yet, he said, but I'm going to make you counsel all day and all night just to show you that that's what I gave you a talent for. I don't care if you don't like it. All right? Because, I mean, I ran from it in the beginning. I was like, I do not want to deal with anybody's anything, and I don't want to talk to anybody. Okay? First marriage counseling I got, I told the guy, well, divorce her already. That was it. That was all counseling. I didn't want to deal with it. This is 24 years ago. But bear in mind that it didn't come across that way. He had been threatening her and threatening her. I said, look, stop threatening her or divorce, but you're torturing her. That's not fair. Okay? So really, it made more sense than I made it sound. Okay? But she looked at me in a panic like, don't tell him to do it. I was like, why would you want to be married to him if he's going to do nothing but threaten you all the time with divorce? And you're walking around on eggshells freaking out every day. And then I went home and said, man, I don't want to do this. So he's going to have you do things that you need to do to become the person you need to become if you're going to be allowing him to mold you. And he uses life to mold you. Okay? All right. Angela.
Thank you, Rabbi. I appreciate that you're diligent to Abba in... Sometimes you really annoy me. I don't know if you know that or not.
That is part of my job.
I guess it is.
I'm good at it.
You are.
I tell people all the time, you got to go with your strengths.
And you're diligent. It's like a layer of an onion, and you just keep pounding at it and pounding at it. And some days I get a little frustrated with you thinking, he's just beating a dead horse. Would he be quiet already? But today I realized that I have been...
Wait, but if you're the dead horse, you got to be quiet.
Oh. No, I didn't say you were beating me, did I? I've been gauging my growth off of other people. Like, I see people do things like buy food on the Sabbath, and then they'll say, but I'm going to wait to eat it until after sundown. And I think, that's not right. No. And so then I go away thinking, well, I'm okay in his eyes because I'm not doing that. And then I realized today that I really should be gauging myself against him, not against my mishpachah.
Amen. So
thank you for beating a dead horse and being diligent.
You're welcome. Look. No, wait. I appreciate that. No, you can clap for her. That was great. But listen. You need to know that when you're looking at other people, that no, you don't get any, you know, extra accolades because you're not doing something they're doing, or you're doing it better than they're doing, whatever. You should feel good about that. Hey, I don't have that problem. But recognize that your problem, they don't have. And so you have plenty to work on. It's just not what you see them having a problem with necessarily. So you have to be careful that you don't get a little full of yourself, but you can feel good, I don't have that problem, okay? I know enough that I shouldn't be doing that, and feel good about that. That's something you say, well, well done, that's good. I don't have that problem. But don't judge and be like, well, you know, they're just all wrong. Well, and don't think, well, I'm great because I don't have that problem. Well, you got your own problems that they may not struggle with. Everybody has different stuff. Okay, because I realize that a lot of times people will either out loud or in their heads mock other people and look down in a condescending way because they struggle with something you don't. But then whatever it is you do struggle with, they could look at you the same way because they don't struggle with it. Your struggle is your struggle. But I don't want you to not feel encouraged and good about something you may see somebody else struggling with and be glad you don't. Not looking badly on them, but just feel good that I don't struggle with that. Okay? I want you to still gain some of the positive self-worth and thinking, well, at least I don't have that problem. I have my other stuff, but I'm glad that's not one of the things I struggle with. I get that I shouldn't do that. And I have compassion for them that they don't get that yet. Okay? So I'm not going to judge them. I'm just going to recognize and say, well, I'm glad I don't struggle with that. Okay. Look, I remember being in years ago in Worldwide Church of God or United Church of God, and people would want to go to lunch on Shabbat to a restaurant. And my wife and I would say things like, we don't do that. It's okay. But we didn't say, what's wrong with you that you do that? Don't you know that you shouldn't do that? We simply said, we'll pass. We wait and don't do that. But we felt good, but we weren't judging them. You see the difference, right? So I want you to feel good. Okay. That was the missing piece that I just wanted. I want you to feel good, but don't feel good like elevated over them. Just feel good that that's not your issue.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay, good. You know? Because you can feel good without putting the other person down or looking down at them. Okay? All right, Melissa.
I'm in security, and if they don't obey the rules and they bring any contraband and they're not supposed to and the scanners go off, we have to search them. And if they refuse to be searched, they have to go outside the gate and wait for either a supervisor. Basically, they fire themselves when they refuse to be searched. They no longer have work. And so I was thinking about that, and I went home, and I was thinking, Yahweh said, well, the dogs stay outside the gate. All of a sudden, he brought it to my mind. If you refuse to be searched or search yourself, then you pretty much have no works because you're not getting in. You're not going to do the works. You're not going to. It's like when people go outside the camp here, they're put outside the camp, they can repent and come back, not there. And so then what, like Amy was talking about, it said, therefore, whatever you wish men to do to you, do also for them, for this is the Torah and the prophets. Enter in through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it, because the gate is narrow and the way is hard pressed, which I never saw that before, which leads to the life, and there are few who find it. But beware of false prophets. And so I thought, hard pressed, I thought, and all of a sudden I blurted out, I feel like an olive, you know, like I'm being squeezed. You know, I thought, where did that come from? And so, you know, I thought about it. That, you know, we have to search ourselves. We have to let him search us. We have to find what we will in the scriptures, or we will be outside the gate. We will not make it. And there are a few who find it. So we have to be hard-pressed that we're going to keep going. And I'm thankful that you're not a eunuch, that you got, you know, cojones. But so I'm sorry. Sorry. You know, you just...
I have that. I have co-workers. I have a lot of co-things.
You know. Hemorrhoids. Those are called hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm really grateful that you speak the truth and you don't let up, you know, and so that we can... Then when I got some tests, my son called me and he kept saying, Mom, I'm worried about you. Why don't you come live with me? And I really had to wrestle with it. And then I thought, you know what? I struggled too hard to get here, and I'm not going back into the world and live with my... kids and grandkids. And so today that was just a confirmation. Stay in what you found. We came here.
Amen.
And so I said, you know, I'll just flip it. I'll just pray them here instead of me leaving. They can come here. So my daughter's thinking about it. So
well,
that's
good.
A start, you know.
Good.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
And I like your analogy. That was very good. Very good. Okay.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. And I apologize, I forgot your name.
Yeah, Daryl Lawler.
Hey, Daryl.
So the challenge I had last week was, we are not punk-ass Israelites. We're very strong. And forgive me for saying that, but I can't help it. So the challenge of my job was coming to church on Saturday. Also, I had a doctor's appointment last week, and my operation manager just didn't believe me. He took my phone as I was going to the restroom. Certain things happened. I was kind of like ticked off about it. So I called him, I texted him. He didn't answer the phone, so I left him a message. I said, I left your supervisor and told him I had a doctor's appointment. He should have delayed it to you. That's not my problem. So my supervisor, my operation manager is kind of like a bully. I guess when you look at me, I guess I'm going to look like I'm some kind of hardcore guy or whatever, afraid to talk to me. While I'm an alpha, I will admit that. I'm not no pushover, but I respect the situation, everybody's situation. But since the Most High been moving in me, and my friend Brandy kind of told me to show up, and lately I ain't been showing up. But I've been in the words, I've been in the scriptures, and the Most High has told me to get into the scriptures, not depend on man. So I had an operation, I ain't saying that right. I had a meeting with HR, with the president and the vice president. What my operation manager did not know was, I know both owners of the company. It's two brothers and a sister, me and her are friends. He didn't know that. So I talked to the vice president to talk about the issues. Bullying at the job, taking my phone when I'm using the restroom, having people call, follow me around. So for a minute, I thought I was crazy. I was complaining. So I just sat back and relaxed, and Most High said, just be calm, relax.
Amen.
So when he took my phone in front of everybody, he couldn't deny that. And then my supervisor, I said, man, you owe me back pay. I need shift differential for third shift I've been working, because I'm a first shift worker. Second shift I've been working, I'm a first shift worker. I did that like 4 months ago. Never went to HR, never even asked a question about my money. So they just treat me like I'm some nobody, no respect. So I confronted my operation manager. He blew up, got in my face. I said, I'm standing strong in front of the Most High. I represent the Most High. I stand in my square. I fear nothing. I see no one in front of me. So since I said, that's the case, you sit down and listen to me. You work for me. I don't work for you. So he didn't understand that. Because I'm not here doing the job, you can't get paid. And you go through about 10 forklift drivers before you find one like me. Every forklift driver that came along has left. Everybody fear and tremble when they watch him walk by. My supervisor afraid of him. New employees afraid of him. So I told the Most High, I feel like David versus Goliath. So when I confronted him, I said, all you do is, sorry, women. All you do is talk to all the women. I kind of used to do that myself, but I'm learning my own ways. And I'm pretty much a master of that, how things work that way. That's all you do is talk to women. So it's just your territory, you can have it. I have no desire to talk to any worldly women anymore. Damn. I never thought I'd say that.
Amen. No.
Anyway, so with that said, had the operation, talked to a meeting with the operation managers, senior operation manager, vice president, president, COO, et cetera. I told her, Vivian, I said, listen, I have a sportswear company. I'm about to get it started. I gave a few people some samples of my product. My operation manager got mad at me because he didn't get one. I said, you don't deserve one. You deserve something else, but I'm going to keep that to myself. So with that said, I said, I know the situation. I think for a minute you're jealous of me, but let's move forward. Do you forget you hired me in Walmart parking lot to challenge me to do a great job? and I'm doing it. Never miss a day, always there. I don't know what to do. So I told him in his face, keep it up. I'll leave this company and I'll be hired in 48 hours with another company. So inside the meeting, the human resource had to kind of challenge me some things. Well, this could happen this way, you're worrying this way, you're worrying this way. What about the shirts and what about this? I said, hold on, focus on the bullying. Don't focus on anything else. Because you are all over the place. I'm not. So I said, do you need me to leave this meeting, go get my lawyer, and you just contact your lawyer, contact my lawyer, we just do it like that? Immediately they said no. I said, Tom, to the vice president, have I not been here every single day working my butt off? Yes, you have. To the operation manager who likes the operation manager, senior operation manager who likes him and sticking up for him, said something about the shirts. So I said, Anthony Watt did the shirts because his wife cares enough for him because you guys do not provide sweatshirts for the wintertime. We are freezing on the dock. So she thought maybe she'll just do you guys a favor to make some shirts, made me some shirts. And I wish you guys provided shirts, I mean hoodies, or sweatshirts so we can stay warm. So she was just looking out for her husband. In the meantime, he asked me, do I print shirts? I said, I do not print shirts. It is against the law or conflict of interest to print a product with your logo on it and my logo on it. So I'm pretty sure I can't do that. My product comes from California, and all my product get printed in California. But as of late, Anthony Watts and his wife printed my product. And when I do start doing my product, all my paperwork will be in order. So since that's the case, let's get back to the subject. I am an Israelite. You guys make fun of me because I'm not a Christian. You guys say he's reading the Bible again, or you'll say, do not write Bible verses on the paperwork because this is tranquil. I said, okay. So I say, I tell you what, I just put my name on it and I just think of a Bible verse in my mind so you guys won't see it. But I got beside myself a little bit because my supervisor straight up lied to me and talking about Christianity and all that. So I told him, be careful. I might just show up at your church and confront you on that. Because I think you are a liar. And I think that you over-exaggerate. And you and supervisors, y'all get together and you point out the bad guy. So with that said, the very next day, as I said that, now they humble. And I said to him, since I can't write it down, just what I tell you in your face. Psalms 18:39, you arm me with strength for battle. You humble my adversaries before me. Let's go right there across the internet. So, you arm me with strength for battle. You humble my adversaries before me. Oh, it is? Come on now. And I said, with that said, I see nothing in front of me. I am a giant. You are weak. And you thought you could just get away from me, get away from, talk to me to any kind of way. I said, the Most High is in me, and I will crush all my enemies with his strength. So do what you like. You want to fire me? Go ahead. I will sue you and this company, especially after I came out the meeting. With that said, humbly, the rest of the week was smooth for me. No one talked to me. When I walked towards them, they run. They run the other way. They bump each other. They say yes, sir, to me now. They bump my fence. They apologize. They make sure I got everything I need. They even offered to buy me lunch. Matter of fact, I got lunch. I talked to the president while we was having lunch, and I gave some great ideas in front of them. I said, I can make sure, I said, I got ideas to make your company, this company, a lot of money, or just present it. And I wish you, I'd like to set up a meeting with you sometime this week to help you. He said, well, how so? Well, we're going to electric cars, and we're in the transportation business, logistics. So our gas, you put up a hub at gas stations, set up accounts, put up a hub at gas stations so people with electric cars can show up, plug their car in, and get charged up and take off. So you are transportating product back and forth. What if you got into buying a device so people can come, charge their phone up, charge their car up, and to be proficient, because therefore, if you are in the transportation industry, and that's what you do anyway, just open up another department, add it onto it, do a test run, and see how it go. And he said, excellent, let's talk. In the meantime, after they left, all this week, no problem. Still don't want to talk to me, but no problem. I said, I go to MTOI. They joked about it and said, what is that? Because you do not look Jewish. You don't have the hat on. You don't have the tassels. I said, no, I got a ball cap and a hoodie. That shouldn't matter. What's in me is the word. I'm not no punk. It's like, you don't care. I don't care what I wear. It's in my heart and in my mind. I got the word. It's a sword. I got the shield. Don't worry about what I got on. And don't worry about because I'm black. I'm sorry. Israelite. In the meantime, step away. Leave me alone or deal with it. Apologize. Hope I come back after the break because we got 3 weeks off. Walked up to me, the vice president, asked me, can I work during the break? You're a great worker. We don't have nobody who wants to show up. I said, of course you don't. I would love to have you. Would you accept? I said, give me a week off, and I'll do the other 2 weeks. No problem. In the meantime, I'm glad that I had enough strength not to use this and use this and that to fight my battle. And I think you said something last time I was here about the Saturday working, and you, since you are a good worker, you always find another job. In the meantime, I just want to appreciate everybody who's been supporting me and praying for me. And every day I'm getting better and better. It's growing in the body. And I know I haven't been here in a few weeks, but I've just been hitting scriptures, listening to other people. And Brandon kind of told me not to be all over the place. Just focus on eating right and showing up. So I showed up today.
Amen.
So, thank you, guys.
Amen. Look, you know, we don't really have a place for testimonies usually, but I like when we do have some of those opportunities that come up. And Daryl, you know, I think that what people should have gotten out of what you said was that even though you've not arrived, you're on this journey and you set your foot on a path, but you know two things, you know, or three things really. You know who you are in the context of him, so you know who he is. And you know the path you're on, and you have strength in that, okay? And, you know, you've talked to me about things. I mean, you're relatively new on this path. You're not doing everything. You're doing the things you understand and the best you can, and you're working on getting the rest of it worked out, and that's great. So I don't want anybody thinking, well, this, that, or the other thing. Listen to the strength of commitment to say, I know who I'm supposed to be, and I know who he is and what I'm supposed to be, and I'm working in that direction, and nobody's going to get in the way of that. And that's where my strength comes from. All right? That's what I heard, okay? That's what I heard, okay? And that's hopefully what you heard, too. Because this is a guy who had a life before where, you know, the fist might have been where he'd have gone. And he said, no. My strength is coming from knowing who I am in the context of him and knowing who he is and how he's in charge. And so I'm just going to lay it out there without any fear. Okay? And so I really appreciate that. So hopefully I'm just want, you know, all of you to get that same thing out of it. I know some of you might have been thinking, oh, man, is he ever going to stop? No, it's he got to where he needed to get to. You needed to hear it. All right? And so I think that was really good. Okay? All right, so that being said, we never got to the live stream. Did you have any, like, really strong? No, we're good. Okay. Shamish Kurt's like, all right. So all of you on live stream, it's his fault. He just discarded you guys. No. All right. I don't remember who we had closing. Wait, I have my papers here somewhere. Oh, Lee, that's right. Okay, good. So we're going to go ahead and close up for today. I hope you got a lot out of that afterburn. Okay? So if you'll all rise, we're going to be led into closing blessing by Mr. Lee Blue.